Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, about 2 years into Jesus' ministry, he asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Tonight, the same question comes to us. Who do we say Jesus is? At that time, Peter answered well, saying to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So, how do we answer today? Well, I suppose we could simply borrow Peter's words, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that would be a good answer. We'd be showing that we have taken to heart what we have heard in God's word. Or we could add a bit more about Jesus' identity. We could confess, for example, that he is true God and true man, united in one person. And that would also be good. But there is also more that we can say about who Jesus is, more that is very much worth saying. And we can be helped in doing that by first answering a different question. Who do we say we are? In our psalm this evening, we heard David say something about who he was, something about his own nature. As David said to the Lord, "I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." And tonight, we join David in making that confession. For like David, we know our transgressions, and our sin is always before us. We know that we have not loved God with our whole heart, and we know that we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. And so, like David, we know that God would indeed be justified in judging us, that we do indeed justly deserve his present and eternal punishment. And we also know, like David, that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition, that we cannot cleanse ourselves of this sin or give ourselves new hearts. Like David, we need a gracious God to forgive us, renew us, and lead us. And so, seeing that that is who we are, that we are sinners in need of a gracious God, what can we do but, in the words that we heard from Joel, rend our hearts and turn to the Lord our God? And that's what we are doing here tonight, coming before the Lord with hearts that are broken by sin and turning to him for mercy. And we do so in the confidence that, as Joel said, the Lord we are turning to and falling down before is gracious and merciful. He is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. David and Joel both looked to God in faith, trusting in his gracious promise of a Savior who would make full atonement for all their sins. And tonight we look in faith to that Savior whom he has given, his own dear Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Examining ourselves, we know our transgressions and our sin is always before us. But looking to Christ, we see that he was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities, and that by his wounds we are healed, as the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. According to our sin, God would indeed be justified in judging us, for the wages of sin, what we deserve for our sin, is death. But looking to Christ crucified, we see that Jesus took that judgment in our place, and that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So while we could never cleanse ourselves of our sin, we rejoice that our sins have been washed away in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. While we could never make our own hearts new, we rejoice that by word and sacrament, Christ is always at work, strengthening and renewing us in faith, hope, and love. And while sin may rend or break our hearts, we give thanks that in Christ, in the words of the 147th Psalm, the Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up our wounds. And that means that there is a great deal that we can say about who Jesus is. For we know him not only as the Lord, but as the Lord who loved us and gave himself up for us. We know him not only as the Christ, the Messiah, but as the Christ who, having no sin of his own, chose to cover himself in our sins, so that in exchange for our sins, we could be covered in his righteousness. When Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" the answer that Peter gave was a great confession. In fact, Jesus said that day that Peter's understanding of who Jesus is had been revealed to him by God the Father himself. But I really don't think that Peter would mind if we were to add a couple words to his answer and say, "Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, my Savior." For we haven't really given a full confession of who Christ is until we have confessed what Christ has done for us. And so again, it would be good, right, and salutary to say that Jesus is true God and true man, united in one person. But it would be even better to go a bit further and to say what this God-man, Jesus Christ, has done for us. To say, for example, in the words of Luther's Small Catechism, "I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, so that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity." This is most certainly true. This is the good news on which Christ has built his church. And thanks be to God, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. All glory, honor, and praise be to Christ Jesus, the Son of the living God, our Savior, now and forevermore. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.